Rodriguez now trapped in behind the Leaf goal. It's a 2-on-2 rush, 3-on-2 with Gardner racing into the play. It's dropped for Kapanen, shot scores! With 2.7 seconds left in the overtime period.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. That's your game-winning goal, courtesy of Austin Matthews. He scores his second of the game, 15th of the season, on a bullet of a shot, beating Linus Allmark up high onto the bar, and the Maple Leafs in overtime come back to defeat the Buffalo Sabres by a score of 4-3. We welcome you inside 716 Food and Sport. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Paul William Belt's official Sabres postgame show. Very entertaining game from start to finish. I know a lot of Sabre fans are upset at the result, but it was good end-to-end hockey. Things that we thought would happen did. It was on display. Speed and skill from both sides of the ice. Good goaltending on both sides. But in the end, after Jack Eichel scored his second of the game to give Buffalo a 3-2 lead, it was Marlowe and Matthews that tie it and win it for Toronto, making the Leafs faithful that are in the building here tonight very happy. And the Leafs win their fifth in a row as they defeat the Buffalo Sabres by a 4-3 score. The Sabres do get a point. We'll update you on the standings here in just a little moment. But Toronto with their fifth straight win, the Sabres have now lost four in a row. Yes, in two of those four, they've picked up points, but they have lost four straight officially in the standings. Coming up here on the postgame, we'll be heading to the Sabres dressing room in the next few moments. Paul Hamilton is on his way there now, so we'll get player reaction to this OT loss to Austin Matthews and the Leafs tonight. Also, we'll hear from Sabres head coach Phil Housley. He'll meet with Paul and the rest of the media. So when he comes up for his thoughts on the game, we'll take you there for that. Of course, all the necessary highlights and stats and breakdown. We'll update you on the NHL standings and the rest of the NHL games tonight. And your phone calls, of course, are welcome. The local number in Buffalo is 803-0550, 803-0550. Toll free, no matter where you're listening around the world tonight, it is 1-888-552-550, 1-888-552-550. If you want to send me a text, you can do so at 550-550, or feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Brian WGR. Let's go live to the room for reaction. Here's the captain, Jack Eichel, with Paul Hamilton.
So I guess how gutting is it to have it end this way?
Well, I mean, you know, we just played two of the top five teams in the NHL on a back-to-back, and we traveled, and, you know, I thought we played a great game tonight. You know, obviously, they get the extra point, and it's frustrating, but, you know, give us credit. I mean, you know, anybody who, you know, has done it before, has played a back-to-back, knows it's not easy, and, you know, never mind going from Nashville to home and playing them. You know, they're sitting here waiting for us. It's not easy, and I thought we brought a lot of compete and effort, and, you know, they get the extra point.
How do you guys come out there with that much energy? I mean, late goal in the second, that had been kind of deflating, but you guys came out, it seemed like you were on.
I thought we did a good job coming out in the third and, you know, trying to play in their end, create something, and obviously we get the lead. It's you know, it's tough. They get it back there, and then obviously with 2 seconds left in overtime, they get the winner. So it's frustrating.
Ristolainen set you up for that goal there.
Yeah.
Was that about as strong a game as you've seen him play? He just was fantastic tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he was. I mean, you could argue he was one of the best players on the ice tonight. And you know, we were down a 5D there, and I thought all our D stepped up and played big minutes, played big situations, but, yeah, I mean, he was tremendous tonight.
Especially to find you there, because some guys might have just fired it into the pile, and he took a look.
Yeah, I mean, he puts it right in the wheelhouse. It's a great play by him. You know, I haven't had a lot lately, so it felt good.
Thanks, Jack. Jack Eichel on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Jack Eichel. Two goals, the one he was describing there. His first, the beautiful shot pass from Ristolainen to set him up. Ristolainen wound up, but did see Eichel out of the corner of his eye and made a perfect pass to set up the one-timer for Eichel's sixth of the year. That tied things up at two. And then later in the third, Eichel ended up giving Buffalo its first and only lead of the night as he made a real nice move toward the middle, creating some space, and then got off a real nice wrist shot that went off of Frederik Andersen and into the goal. That put Buffalo up 3-2, and well, for a few moments, it looked as though maybe that was going to be the difference maker, but then Marlowe ends up getting the goal. Riley takes the shot off the point, and it goes off the back wall. And Marlowe grabs it and beats Allmark to the spot and able to put it home to tie it up at three. And then in the OT, great chances for both sides. That three-on-three was super fun. And then in the end, of course, I mean, Matthews makes one hell of a play. I mean, there's nothing there that you can get on anybody, really, other than the fact that it's an all-star player. It's an elite player making an elite play. And Buffalo ends up, unfortunately for them, falling on the bad side of it as Matthews just an absolutely perfect shot as he beats Allmark for a 4-3 Toronto victory. The Leafs have now won five in a row, and they push the lead on Buffalo from 1-2. Let's go back to the room. Here's Sam Reinhart now live.
Well, Sam, the way you guys came out, it just has to be even more disappointing because you played such a good game. I mean, to be back-to-back and to play the way you guys did, that has to make it worse.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy right now for sure. It's pretty disappointing. I mean, we have a couple days to kind of take a step back and really look at what we've done and what we've accomplished in this amount of time. And we got to find a way to get back on the winning side of things, and that starts Saturday. So we got a good day off tomorrow to rest and recover, and you know, really think about what we have achieved in you know, so far this year, and get back to winning.
What went well in the first period? You guys came out fast. You were in their zone a lot, had a lot of zone time. What went well for you as a team?
When our D are holding good gaps, and our forwards are allowing them by getting over top of their forwards, it allows us to keep pressure on their defensemen and make it hard exits. And you know, no team likes when teams are doing that to them. And we know that if we don't, their forwards are going to take over, and their skill is going to be able to you know, showcase itself. And you know, obviously at times in the game, it's going to happen. I mean, they're world class players over there, and you know, we gotta, you know, just keep reloading above and making it tough on them and taking away their time and space.
Is it important to take the good from this one, though, just especially on a back-to-back, playing one of the top teams in the league?
Yeah, I mean, everyone goes through it. We're not sitting here showing up today thinking, you know, it's fine if we don't win because it's a back-to-back. But, you know, everyone goes through it. You know, I think from the sounds of it, they have one that's pretty bad as well later in the year. So, you know, we show up to play, and you know, it's disappointing right now.
The puck luck wasn't on your side either. One goes up in the air, and they wind up scoring on that. The other one comes off the back wall. They wind up scoring on that. You guys didn't have a lot of puck luck tonight.
Yeah, I mean, their goals, they took advantage of their opportunities. And like I said, they're world-class players, and our job is to make it harder on them. And, you know, I think we did that for majority of the night, but it's just disappointing that, you know, we couldn't get it done. But like I said, we got a couple of days to kind of relax and regroup and you know, show up and get ready for Saturday on Thursday.
Thank you, Sam. Sam Reinhart in the postgame. And we have Linus Allmark over here. She's just getting... Brian, I'm going to throw it back to you.
All right, Paul, no problem. We'll be heading right back to get Linus Allmark there in just one moment, as that was Sam Reinhart. Sabres fall to the Leafs by a 4-3 score in overtime. Just seeing the replay of Matthews. No, more coming up in a moment. Let's go back. Here's Linus Allmark now live.
Linus, it's 2.7 seconds it goes in on you. What happened on the play the way you saw it coming at you?
I mean, Matthews came in and ripped the hard one top shelf, bar down. Kudos to him.
You had a great game. I mean, you make a big save on Tavares coming in on the breakaway, maybe one of the best ones you've had all year. You seem like you frustrated him all night. You must have made five or six real good saves on him coming in. Did you feel good in the net tonight? Did everything feel good to you?
Yeah, everything felt fine. We've been playing a lot of games recently, and the guys stuck with it. I think this was one of the better
games overall, both for the their team and our team against each other. So I'm looking forward to the next battle.
Is it tough to get a read on, especially Marlowe's goal, the way the puck bounced off the boards, and even Matthew's first goal goes up in the air, he catches it, puts it on the ice. Did you kind of lose sight of that one, or what were your read on those two in particular?
Yeah, I kind of lost it both times. You know, there's a lot of traffic. They do a good job of having lots of bodies in there. We're trying to box them out, and you know, there's a game of inches. You know, if I just hit and stick on the post, the third one wouldn't have mattered, and would have come out victorious.
What was it like on the ice? What was the atmosphere like on the ice with all the Leaf fans, Sabre fans, and just everything going on?
I felt like back home, you know, when we play those derbies against the local teams, you know, it's always great fun. I love playing these games. It gets a little extra spice to it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Linus.
Were you anticipating playing this game tonight?
Kind of. Yeah. I knew that there were going to be back-to-backs, and which of the games that I would get, I didn't know, but the plan was for me to get these games. You know, we want to keep us fresh as much as possible, you know, and we have a lot of back-to-backs, and I'm just happy that I got the chance today.
What did you see from the guys in front of you tonight? Based on how tough it's been the last few games, just to, you know, create offense and stay in some of these games, they're all one-goal games, but you know what I mean. It seemed like tonight they had even more offensive jump in front of you.
I think there was a lot of grit to our game today. You know, there was we have a saying that I can't say on TV, so, but there was a certain grit to our game today that we really wanted to win. There was no thought about losing. The will to win was way bigger than the anxiety of losing.
Does the performance then help?
Brian, I think that says it all for you. Back to you.
And well said there from Linus Allmark. They came to win and, well, at least came within seconds of getting a crack at it in the shootout. Toronto, by the way, has never been in a shootout yet this season. They continue to resolve all of their ties in overtime. You heard there Linus Allmark. Before that, Sam Reinhart and Jack Eichel, all part of our Blue and Gold Locker Room Report, brought to you by Fidelis Care. Quality health coverage, it's our mission. Visit FideliCare.org. All right, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodnight to you here on the Paul William Belts postgame. If you want to keep listening, go to WGR550.com. And for all of you on our flagship on Sports Radio 550, more postgame coming up here from 716 Food and Sport. Final again in overtime, Toronto 4, Buffalo 3. Matthews, his 15th of the season, second in the game. He becomes the hero for tonight. I'm Brian Colziel. Phil Housley's live postgame comments coming up next right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Berglund knocked down in a battle in front of the net. Knows again off at the end of the shift is hammered to the ice by Gergensens. And the Maple Leafs with possession. Austin Matthews at his own blue line.
With Dan Dunleavy on the call, our Seneca Poker deck of the game brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. 4-3 Leafs win it. Let's go to head coach Phil Housley, his live postgame comments.
You had to like the jump you got right off the start. It seemed like your team was right on point for most of the first period, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were ready to play tonight. You know, we haven't had a start like that in the last three games. And I give credit to our guys because, you know, of the schedule and the travel and losing an hour and having to turn around against a really, really good hockey team. And yet I thought it was a back-and-forth game. You know, obviously we came back from, you know, being down twice and then finding a lead. It's just a credit to our guys. You know, I wish they would have got rewarded for their hard work tonight because I thought they played terrific. It was a great atmosphere. A lot of young guys on our team got some valuable experience, you know, how fast the game can be. And, you know, it's just unfortunate because they didn't get rewarded for their hard work.
With Nelson out, were you pleased with the way the rest of the guys were able to kind of play as much as they did again?
Yeah, I think we managed the game very well. We talked about that in between periods that we were down to five, and I think the guys did a really good job of making the good decisions and trying to, you know, get their minutes at the right spot. But I'll give credit to the five guys that were playing because they had to face some stiff competition. You know, our young players continue to grow and develop, and it was great to see them respond like that.
Did you feel maybe that was Ristolainen's best game
I think it was a lot of players in that group in there tonight. They really came to play. I mean, they brought their A-plus effort. Again, you know, a little bit fatigued, and they found the energy, which was really awesome to me, because you know there were times where we lit that goal up at the end of the second period, but we didn't get rattled. You know, we just stayed the course, and then we were able to find a lead. It was unfortunate on that bad bounce in the defensive zone faceoff that went right to Marlowe, but again, I thought we controlled the play in overtime. I thought we had the better looks. It was just unfortunate that they got that last shot.
Ryan Hart with a goal in four straight now. Unfortunately, no wins to show for it. But why has he been so effective?
I think he's just playing his game. You know, he's making plays down low and tight, and he's finding ways to get pucks to the net. He goes to the net hard. That's where he's scoring most of his goals, you know, 5 feet in around the net. So it's good to see him finally put the puck in the net. But his line mates have done a really good job. They've been very consistent for us.
Jack getting two goals to go into the net for him finally. Is this something that you think can kind of get him rolling now?
I think he's been rolling. In the goal scoring standpoint, but I think he's been playing terrific. Tonight he was a beast again, and it's good to see him, you know, finally find the net. But he's contributing in so many other ways, not only just with scoring goals, but playing a 200-foot game. I just really like the speed and tenacity he brought tonight. He was, you know, just a dog on a bone on the forecheck, stripping pucks. He never quit on anything, and it was great to see him come and just bring that spark that we needed.
This team has been tested a lot in the last few weeks, but through the last four games against top five teams, how have you liked how they've responded?
I think it's, we haven't played our best in those games except for tonight, and you know, you're playing tough teams like Tampa and Nashville. These are really good hockey teams, and losing the one-goal games, we're still staying resilient and still focusing on the task at hand, and that's the next game. And I thought we did a terrific job tonight against another top-five opponent in this league, and they're a team to be reckoned with. But I just give our guys credit, against a rested team, to be able to come out here and just put their best foot forward. It was a tremendous effort on their part. No, we don't have anything right now. We'll know more tomorrow.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Head coach Phil Housley, that last question about Casey Nelson. He left the game of the first period, did not return. Says no update. They'll find out more tomorrow. Phil Housley's post-game comments brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. 4-3, Leafs over the Sabres in overtime. Matthews, his second of the night with just under 3 seconds to go, winning it on a beautiful play to beat Linus Allmark. The Sabres will have off in terms of game action until Saturday, an afternoon game here at KeyBank Center. That's a 1 o'clock game against the Philadelphia Flyers. A well-deserved game break of action here over the course of these next 3 days before Buffalo gets back at it on the ice, as they have had what I'm considering a very, very taxing schedule and playing the league's best throughout, many of them on the road. Okay, highlights now from this one. We're going to pick it up in the third period with Toronto on top by a score of 2-1. And early in the third, at the 2:39 mark, Ristolainen sees Eichel, and his shot turns into a pass for Eichel's one-timer to tie things up at 2.
Anderson looks off to his right. Eichel from a corner. Skinner now, nice move. Skinner in front. Comes back to Ristolainen. Pass. One-timer scores! The Eichel Tower! Ties the game at 2 with a one-timer beauty with 17:21 to go in the third period.
Eichel's sixth of the season, Ristolainen and Skinner assisting. That made it a 2-2 game. Back we go the other way, and John Tavares had chances all night long, but Linus Allmark all night stood him up tall.
Back to Pilot. Pilot shot with traffic in front, and Sherry couldn't turn to take the shot. Here's a breakaway pass. Tavares all alone. Oh, what a glove save by Linus Allmark.
Take that.
Beautiful save from Allmark in this game. He faced 30 shots, made 26 saves, but all night he's been excellent, or Allmark was excellent, on stopping John Tavares. Little later, Buffalo grabbing its third lead. Eichel right back at it, his seventh of the year.
Kadri tried to clear. He turns it over. Here's Jack Eichel. Cuts to the net. Holds it. Scores!
Huh.
3-2 Sabres with 7:03 to go in the third.
All right, so Eichel's seventh, second of the game, 12:57 mark. Reinhardt assisting a 3-2 Buffalo lead, but a few minutes later, Toronto able to tie it up. Marleau grabs the puck off the back wall and beats Allmark and puts it home to tie it up at 3.
Leafs win the draw in the Buffalo zone. Shot off the end boards, they score! You had a feeling that the scoring might not be done yet. And right off the draw, it's the Maple Leafs. And I think the veteran Marleau is going to get this one.
Is Marleau with his seventh of the year. Riley and Matthews assisting at the 14:47 mark. 3-3 the score. Eventually off to overtime. And both teams getting chances. The 3-on-3, very entertaining. Back and forth it went. And in the final rush, in the final 10 seconds, it's Matthews, his second of the night, and he wins it for Toronto.
Rodriguez now trapped in behind the Leaf goal. It's a 2-on-2 rush, 3-on-2 with Gardner racing into the play. It's dropped for Kapanen, and shot scores! With 2.7 seconds left in the overtime period.
So Matthews getting his second of the night, 15th of the season. Kapanen and a nice drop pass, Gardner the other assist. 4-3, Leafs win it. That goal, the big moment of the game. Brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. And all of the highlights tonight on our broadcast delivered by Speed Global Services around the corner or around the world. Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. 4-3 Leafs victorious. The Sabres getting back to that shot mentality. The energy was there. The going to the net mentality was there. They outshoot Toronto 41-30. Power plays. Well, a lot of 4-on-4 time, which power play ends on either side. So not really much power play opportunity for either team in this game. Both teams go 0-of-2. Your three stars, Ristolainen was Buffalo's best player. He was excellent. He's star number 3. Jack Eichel had 2 goals, star number 2. And Austin Matthews, 2 goals, an assist, and the game winner. And Matthews tonight, the high-impact player of the game, brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance, it was a sellout at KeyBank Center, 19,070. Many a Leaf sweater in-house, no doubt, tonight. Buffalo's next game will be Saturday afternoon against the Philadelphia Flyers, 1 o'clock, puck drop. I'll have pregame at noon right here on the Sabres Radio Network. Okay, timeout here from 716. When we come back, we'll get Pat Melicaro's 2 cents on the game and his check on the NHL night, and then we'll update you on the standings here on this busy Tuesday in the National Hockey League. Our game, overtime final, Toronto 4, Buffalo 3. I'm Brian Colziel, live at 716. More Paul William Belt's postgame right after this on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Kadri tried to clear. He turns it over. Here's Jack Eichel. Cuts to the net. Holds it. Scores! Three. 2 Sabres with 7:03 to go in the third.
At the second of the two from Jack Eichel in this game, as we welcome you back to 716 Food and Sport. Dan Dunleavy there on the call. This is the Paul William Belt's postgame show. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for being with us. Toronto over Buffalo, 4-3 in overtime. Matthews, his second of the game. Some incredible stats here on Matthews in just one moment. But Eichel there scoring his second of the night. And Eichel's line, again, tremendous. Eichel, Reinhardt, and Skinner, all plus threes, a plus nine combined. Beyond that, Ristolainen, 2 assists and a plus one, so that group a plus 10. I thought Ristolainen was the Sabres' best player. Of course, Ristolainen, Eichel, Reinhardt, all part of our core group that we talk about now here with our Sabres core group feature. I mean, what a performance by that group. We were speaking with Brian Duff during the intermission, and he had said, maybe a key for this third period coming up was that the Sabres need to get a goal from someone else besides Eichel's line. Then last night we know Phil Housley in his postgame comments after the loss in Nashville said we need some more pressure and some more scoring opportunities from everybody else besides Eichel's line. And I'm in agreement with Housley and with Brian and, you know, everybody about this. At some point, is Eichel's line going to – the well may run dry here and – you know, it'll be a night that the Sabres, if they don't get that contribution, as we bring Pat Melicaro in here, they're not going to come out on top.
Yes, but the fact that Jack Eichel scores goals 6 and 7 is, I think, you know, when you look at the big picture, yes, you're going to need all four lines to score.
Right.
but you also want Eichel to close the gap on his goal-to-assist numbers. And by doing that tonight, getting two, you know, the total looks better. And it's a night where Eichel in that third period showed that he wanted to dominate. He wanted the puck on his stick, and I like that out of him.
Eichel and similarly on Matthews on the game winner. They both have the puck with a man on him, and they both figure out ways to get shots off. Eichel moves to the middle to create the space. Eichel's got Saboka right. I'm sorry, Matthews had Saboka right in front of him on the game winner, and he kind of goes at him and pulls back to create the space, and both with real nice wrist shots. That's why those guys were top picks, plays like that.
And let's take you back to the Eichel's first goal, where Ristolainen, who you said, you know, and I agree, was the best player on the ice for the Sabres tonight. You know, he could have taken the shot. Paul Hamilton pointed out perfectly in his tweet, you know, Ristolainen could have taken the shot. Instead, he pulled it back, passed over to Eichel, who didn't get a lot on the shot. He just got the heel of the stick on it, but it was enough to get the goal. And then his second one was, you're right, I mean, you know, he weaves through and find some space, and there was nothing Freddie Anderson could have done to have stopped it.
Yeah, so, but Eichel and Reinhardt and Ristolainen, I mean, three of Buffalo's best players tonight, all part of the core, and our Sabres Core Group feature brought to you by Corrigan Moving. For your next group, count on your core group of friends at Corrigan.
Now, in overtime, when you've got 3-on-3 and you've got others on the ice, maybe that's where, all right, Jack Eichel has, his line has brought, kept you in this game.
Right.
Now, Evan Rodriguez or somebody else late in that overtime, they had chances. That's where you want the other line to maybe come through and pick up where Eichel's line left off.
I thought Mittelstadt had an off night. Maybe that could have been a moment for him to shine. And, you know, obviously he didn't get the opportunity in this one here tonight. Here's some incredible numbers on Matthews. Of course, not only are these numbers insane, but remember Matthews missed weeks with a serious injury. He has only played in 14 games this year and has 15 goals. So he's averaging over a goal a game, just barely. He has 7 points in his last three games as well. So, I mean, he's on a torrid pace. He obviously won't get a full 82 in with that injury, but, I mean, he is just lighting it up right now and has to be right there in the discussion for best player in the league right now.
There's no doubt. And, you know, you look up and down that Toronto lineup, they were certainly missing Austin Matthews. I mean, what he's doing now you can't replace, but that team was built. And look, they were doing it without William Nylander as well, who just signed over the weekend. So they were missing two of their very young, bright stars, but guys like Mitch Marner were stepping up. The addition of John Tavares this offseason helped out. So you had other guys, and this Toronto team is built in waves. They come at you with more than just one or two lines, and they do it you know, as a five-man unit a lot of times as well. So this Toronto team was built to sustain some injuries, and they've done that, being 2 points better than the Sabres right now through their first meeting.
That's right. 4-3 Leafs win it. Matthews the game winner. Brian Colzie along here with Pat Malacaro. Let's grab a call or two here, 803-0550. We go to Lockport. Jack is with us. Hi, Jack. Go ahead. You're on the post game.
Hey, guys. Great effort by the Sabres. I'm just disappointed in Johan Larsson. I don't understand why he's in the lineup. He's a minus 60 overall. This year, he's minus 8, including today. I don't understand what Phil House is thinking, and it disappoints us.
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, I didn't have that stat in front of me. I mean, that's not a stat that I necessarily would be rooting for to look at that. If you ask me how Larsson is doing, I'll say that I feel like he's fitting into the role that he is supposed to play about as good as he's had in his Sabres career. He's been excellent on the penalty kill. The Sabres have had a good penalty kill this year. He's been a big part of that. He's still, the Sabres overall as a team with O'Reilly gone, they're a weaker team on faceoffs. Sometimes that's a spot that he can help with. You know, offensively, I don't know if he'll ever get to the level that maybe we originally thought when he came in. But for a fourth line right now, doing what he's doing, I don't have much of an issue with Larsson. And right now there's, you know, and if you're interested in swapping him out right now, there's injuries. So at this moment, the only other option is Remy Elie, to be honest with you, and I'd rather have Larsson play.
And Larsson brings more to the table in terms of an all-around game, including the special teams, which you mentioned. Look, he was on the ice for more than a minute of the penalty kill tonight.
4-3 Toronto victorious. Thanks for the call, Jack. Next, we go to Marjorie in Buffalo. Go ahead, Marjorie. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I was at the game, and I remember them changing during overtime with only 13 seconds left. I looked up. I was shocked. Can the team not hold out for 13 seconds? They cleared the ice, the Leafs gained control, and they scored. So I was kind of wondering your perspective on that. Not a longtime hockey fan, but I thought that was kind of surprising. We totally gave them an opportunity to score.
Thank you. You might have had a better look at it, Pat. At this point, I'm watching overtime from here on the TV. I would think that that strategically is not what you'd want to do. It probably depends on maybe where the puck was. I mean, if it's in Buffalo's end and the D's tired, who knows if he's even aware at that point if there's that much time left, as you said. Ideally, though, you wouldn't want to change with that much time left if that's how the scenario played itself out.
Yeah, and that's kind of but how that's how three-on-three kind of feels. You know, you get just one sort of situation out of place, and then, boom, someone can capitalize on it, and that's what, you know, when you got the speed and the skill of a guy like Matthews on the ice, you know, in the play in the neutral zone, the Kapanen was around the puck and that whole shift, and he almost was able to spring it loose a couple of times, and then eventually they were able to get the puck on Matthews' stick. So, but that's what I feel like three-on-three kind of creates is those opportunities to take advantage of one team in a certain time, and that's what Toronto did.
Yeah, and Marjorie, to answer your question, again, from being here, I didn't get to see the shift change as well as I would maybe from the press box for the rest of the game. But ideally, yes, you wouldn't want to make that change at that point. If the defenseman does it because he thinks, oh, the puck's in the offensive end, I'm going to go ahead and do it. A lot of times, it's really an OT, it's possession. If you have possession, you may even see at times where they'll put it back to the goaltender just so that guys can cycle in and out and make changes. Possession is really the most important thing in these overtimes because there is so much space that teams don't, you know, really want to give it up, and a lot of times that's where you'll see those changes. But however that did play out, you know, if that did have an impact on the goal, and obviously, you know, that's something I'm sure that the Sabres are going to want to address to not have that done at that point. Thanks for the call. 4-3 Leafs in overtime. Next to Brian in Amherst. Hi, Brian. Go ahead. You're on the postgame.
Hi, Dylan. I'm just wondering what we're going to do once we have all our defensemen healthy. I mean, Lawrence Pilot's playing out of his mind. Tonight he controlled Austin Matthews' line by himself, having 61% Corsi. I don't see how he can go down. Where do you see our defense going once everybody's healthy?
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, you've got McCabe out right now, Scandella out, and we obviously won't get an update on Nelson until tomorrow. Now, I think Pilot has looked good. He has been, I think, very good in terms of fitting in passing. That's one thing that we've seen better with the Sabre defense this year is that they are involved in the play, smooth transitions, and he's got a good eye for it, there's no doubt. And you mentioned he did do a good job on Matthews. Let's forget, I mean, he wasn't out there for the OT for that game winner. I mean, the awareness that Matthews has on that first goal, the puck just, you know, luckily deflects up in the air. It's going to go wherever. Beaulieu doesn't see it. Matthews does see it and reaches over him to grab it. And then the quick wraparound, I mean, a real, real skilled play. But back to the Pilot point, for now you're going to get to see him unless suddenly in these next 3 days we have three healthy defensemen. I could see Pilot staying to play over Nelson. I don't know, Pat, if he would stay to play over McCabe or Scandella if everyone's healthy.
I don't think so. I think, you know, he's played well in these handful of games, but it's still a small sample size. And, you know, when teams get a chance, when you get to see a player, when you get to see his tendencies, teams tend to figure you out. So it'd be natural that after the next couple of games, you might see Pilot struggle a little bit. And, look, I don't think it's any slight to him if you say you've got your healthy D, the defense core that helped get you to the point of 10 straight wins and to be at the top of the division. It's time to go back to Rochester and develop more down there. It's just the way that this team is built right now, he's probably best served to be in Rochester.
Yeah, I think, Brian, your point is valid that he does look good. He looks the part. He looks comfortable. I don't at all see him looking like he's not NHL ready. But my guess is, just knowing the organization's goals, is that if he is available to play because of injury, he's going to be here. If Scandella's ready and McCabe's ready, they go in, and probably Pilot goes back to Rochester to be the number one guy there. You know, and again, who knows when McCabe and Scandella will be back. Maybe we'll see another week's worth of pilot, and maybe I'll have a different answer. Maybe the organization will have a different answer. But I would guess, based upon what Jason Bottrell does with his players, he wants them to develop and play a ton. And he's been maybe one of the AHL's best defensemen when he's been there. And this is not to say that I don't think he's NHL ready. I just think if Scandella's back and McCabe is back, I don't see Pilot at this moment being ahead of them. So at this point, is it better to have him sit here and get scratched?
No.
Or have him play in Rochester? And I think the answer is the latter.
Yeah.
4-3, Leafs win it. One more call, then we'll get an update here from Pat on the scores. Tom in Lackawanna is up next here on the postgame. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. A couple questions on Berglund. I don't know. He looks too slow for me. I would have rather had Remy in. He cost us that goal at the end of the second period, and a couple times he was ahead of the play, and he just slowed up. What do we got? Two more this year and next year with him, and how much does he earn?
We'll get that in 1 second. I want to comment on – thank you, Tom, for the call. I want to just comment on Berglund. Last night, opportunity to score in that game in Nashville and ended up not coming through. You're right. He had a chance in the first period on a one-timer, shoots it wide, and he was late getting to the puck on Gardner's goal. That goal with 10 seconds left. So, yes, I need more from Patrick Berglund. And, you know, maybe his role is to play the minutes he is right now. I mean, tonight he's a -2 in 10.5 minutes. It's not great. And I need to see more out of him. So I agree with your call, Tom. I don't know if necessarily Remy Elie comes in and all of a sudden lights the world on fire, but over the last couple of games he's been involved, and I feel like, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more out of him over the course of these next couple of games. I don't know if he was, you know, expecting to come in and produce more offensively, but we haven't gotten much from him. He has 3 years left at $3.85 million.
Yeah, just under four.
Yeah. So he'll be here for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't foresee anybody jumping to call Jason Bottrell to get Berglund at that salary. And that was part of the deal,
right,
to get Thompson here, is that Berglund and Sobotka came with contracts. That was part of the deal.
You have to almost swap money in and money out. We hear that used a lot. Look, Ryan O'Reilly's deal is pretty big, so
right,
in order for St. Louis.
Remember all that money that O'Reilly had? And that was part of the Sherry deal, too. You think, oh, look, they got Sherry for almost nothing. Well, part of that, you took Hunwick's contract.
Right.
That was part of that, too. So part of trade sometimes is that you're taking a big contract, and then the other team says, well, if we're going to take on this O'Reilly deal, you got to help us out with these other ones. And, well, I think that was part of it. I think the piece of the puzzle that Bottrell was interested in beyond unloading O'Reilly's contract was getting Thompson. He's got obviously the upside.
And you've got a high draft pick, too, potentially.
That's right.
First-round pick.
St. Louis is struggling.
Right.
That first-round draft pick could be
now, that
juicy.
Can be protected. I believe if they're top 10, it can revert to the next year. But
right now, they're last in the West. In fact, I'm sorry, they are tied for last in the NHL. St. Louis is. Okay, let's get an update on the NHL night. We'll update you on the standings and look ahead to Philly here before we wrap up on the postgame. Once again, here's Pat.
There's three games still ongoing, Brian, all out west as the Kings and Coyotes scoreless about 6 minutes in tonight. After one in Vancouver, the Canucks and the Wild tied one apiece. Josh Levo in his first game with Vancouver since being traded by the Leafs gets his fifth of the year. Zach Parise is 13th. For the Wild in that contest. Also, a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup final as the Capitals and Golden Knights tied one apiece. Ryan Reeves, his sixth of the year for the home team there. Jets 3-1 winners of the Islanders tonight, while the Panthers 5-0 winners over Boston. Roberto Luongo notches his 77th career shutout, making 33 saves in the victory. Mike Hoffman, a pair of goals, 13-14 on the year there. At one time, a 4-1 Columbus lead turned into a 9-6 Calgary victory over the Blue Jackets. Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, each scoring a pair of goals in the victory. Matthew Tkachuk is 13th. On the losing end, Cam Atkinson now up to 19. He had a hat trick in the loss. Canadiens 5-2 winners over the Senators, while the Lightning defeat the Red Wings 6-5 in a shootout in Detroit tonight. Earlier today, the NHL Board of Governors voting unanimously, the league approving Seattle to join the NHL in the 2021-22 season, creating a 32-team league with the new Seattle franchise occupying the Pacific Division and the Arizona Coyotes will move to the Central. One note from the Bills as well, as earlier today the team announcing they have released wide receivers Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes. Russell Bodine goes to injured reserve, as well as the team adding to the 53-man roster Mike Love and Denzel Rice, Brian.
Thank you, Pat. All right, so Toronto wins. They pick up a point on Buffalo. Sabres get the OT point. The Atlantic now reads Tampa in first with 43, Toronto in second with 40, Buffalo in third with 38. The gap down to fourth now with Boston losing tonight to Florida. They're at 32, so a six-point gap in there. And the Sabres have lost four in a row. Or you could spin it and say they're 10-2-2 in their last 12.
They did get 2 points.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, and again, these are one-goal games. You're sensing a theme here.
13 of the last 14 right. have been a one-goal game. Philadelphia here Saturday, second lowest total in the East. They are 11-12-2, 24 points, and only the Devils are worst right now. This can be a feel-good game for Buffalo to kind of get that good feel going back. They will have rest, maybe some more players coming back from injury, an opportunity for them here.
Philadelphia trying to figure things out with a new general manager there, and you know the head coach situation sort of you know up in the air with now everybody sort of playing and trying to show off for the new GM and see how things play out. So a team in transition somewhat in the Flyers, and you're right, it's a game ripe for the picking for the Sabres, and then you've got two West Coast teams coming in here next week as well. So for as bad of a stretch this might be in this little pocket of games, you've got an opportunity to flip it in the other direction in quick order.
That's right. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Brian.
Sabres fall 4-3. Really entertaining game. Could have went either way, but it's Matthews doing what he does, playing the role of hero tonight. He was excellent on that final goal and gets his 15th of the year to beat the Buffalo Sabres by a 4-3 score. As we put a wrap here from 716 on our Paul William Belts postgame show, I want to thank the crew back in our Amherst studios tonight. TJ Luckman, our network producer, Mike Jafari on our social media. Crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Mellicaro, Jonathan Koziel, Paul Hamilton, our reporter in the room. Our pregame show hosts was Mike Shope, and our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Koziel. I thank you for listening. Again, the final at overtime, Toronto 4, Buffalo 3. We'll talk to you on Saturday, the Sabres and the Flyers, right here from downtown Buffalo, on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.